I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Hello there. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, everybody. Today is Monday, December 9th, 2013. Lord, where has the year gone? If anybody can tell me, I would gladly take that information, because it's just flown by for me, that's for sure. A whole lot of things have happened during that time. So, we welcome you to Purpose Talk Radio, the radio show where we talk about fulfilling our purpose and our mission in life. Our guests speak on a whole lot of topics. Today, it will be starting your own business, and we will be introducing Danya Zimmerman in a little bit, and she will be discussing her purpose of originally being an attorney and then moving into more with helping people set up their businesses and doing mediation. So I'm hoping to have her call in very soon. She's learning to use the technology, a little bit different for her. So we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, I am Cindy Freeman. I am your host for the show, and would like to let you know that if you'd like to be a guest on our show like Danya is, or the others who have been on the air for the past 2 years, I would really welcome that from you. And you can get a hold of me through our website at PurposeTalkRadio.com. Of course, that being PurposeTalkRadio, all together as one word, .com. You can send me an email at Cindy@PurposeTalkRadio.com. That would work as well. Probably the website's the quickest, because then you can just click on to sending the message. On that website also are our archive shows, information about our upcoming as well as our past guests. We actually have guests scheduled through the end of February right now, with the exception of 2 weeks that I am looking for people. The first one would be for December 23rd. For me, that is just before the Christmas holiday celebration. For others, there are several other things. We have just finished Hanukkah. Ramadan is coming up. Kwanzaa is coming up. And I'm sure there are a lot of other celebrations that families choose to have. The winter solstice is coming up. Things that families and individuals choose to celebrate at this time of year. What I'd like to do on the 23rd, would be to have people talk about and share their various celebrations and their traditions, whether they be spiritual and religious or family, ethnic, heritage-based. And just kind of a round robin or a panel discussion on that. And again, you can get a hold of me through the website to discuss that and be part of that panel. Third day that I am looking for is January 20th, which in the United States we celebrate as Martin Luther King Day. And I'd like to do something with anyone that might have had some connection to Martin Luther King Jr., or perhaps just on acceptance. So those specific dates are still available and open. The other thing on that website is our sponsor and donation button, and you can do that through PayPal if you'd like. Sponsorship of the show does keep us on the air for longer than a half hour every day or every week, so we do invite you to be a part of that as well. Let's see, what else? Oh, yes, our opening song was by True Trinity, and that is a trio of Jillian Clark, Rachel Martinez, and myself. And the song is called I Am Who I Am. Their website is TrueTrinity.com, TrueTrinity.com. So what I am waiting for right now is for our guest to call in. I don't know where she is. I spoke to her, less than an hour ago, so I am a little bit concerned as to what happened to her. Danya, if you happen to be listening, and for anyone else who'd like to call into the show and talk to us online, that number would be 347-205-9074. 347-205-9074. If you are listening on the computer, that phone number is at the top of the Blog Talk Radio page with the link to the show. If you'd like to listen via Skype, you can do that as well, because that Skype icon would have appeared now next to the phone number for the show. You just click on that. If you have a Blog Talk account and a Skype account, it will take you through the steps to get on and listen to us via Skype. What it would first do, just for those who may not be familiar with that, when you click on the Skype icon, it will take you to a box. It will ask you if you really do want to make the call. You do click to talk. It will then ask you if you have, tell you that you do need a Skype account in order to make the call. And if you have one set up, you just click on that I already have an account, or you can set one up right from there. If you then would go to the next step, and it will tell you that you are making the call, and that it will turn off the audio that you might be listening to right now through the regular computer feed. And then it will connect you to our show, and then you can just listen that way as well. And if you'd like to talk to us either on the phone or on Skype, you would just press the number 1 on your keypad and let us know that you want to be listening. So with that in mind, I still don't have our guest, so I will have to do some other things here to try and locate her or find out what else we could do. If anybody else would like to be on the phone lines, I would gladly take your call at this time. There are a couple people that are listening, but they probably don't want to talk at the moment. What I'm going to do is I'm going to replay our theme song for you. Like I say, it is I Am Who I Am, and it will talk about what some of the mission is for this show, essentially, at this point. So hope you enjoy.
I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own.
Ah, yes, again, fulfilling my own destiny. That's the cool part about this. You know, radio sometimes is not quite as predictable as we would like it to be. Technology has wonderful ways of doing things and being a part of our life. And, we never know what's going to happen. So I appreciate your patience with that. Well, we were able to get our guest on the air for today. So I'm going to bring Danya onto the air and then tell you a little bit about her. Hello, Danya Zimmerman. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very good. I guess we both have the snow to try to blame or the ice to blame for the technology stuff today, huh?
Yes.
I don't know what it is out in Maryland, but it said it's 21 degrees today. I'm not real convinced because yesterday we actually had a snow day for some activities. I closed down a couple of activities in the evening yesterday. So how is it by you out there in Maryland?
We had our first snowstorm. It was sort of like an ice storm. But it wasn't that much, but it did shut down the schools. I was surprised in Baltimore City because normally they do not shut down the schools for a few inches of snow. But it was a surprise, and I think because the roads were icy.
Was that this morning? Or was that already last week? Okay. Wow. Okay. Good. I'm glad you're safe, sound at home then. Okay, well, folks, as I said, our guest today is Donna Zimmerman, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about her, that she has, for approximately the last 13 years, worked as an attorney, family law, bankruptcy law, foreclosure defense, juvenile, and business, and also overlapping a little bit of that for about approximately 5 years, has experience as a business consultant and mediator. In 2012, she decided to stop practicing law and to focus more on the business side of being a consultant and a mediator. And what we will be talking about in a little bit is, you know, why that transition happened, how it happened, and still also how the two areas still overlap. But Danya mainly works with individuals, small to mid-sized businesses, organizations, and churches. The business consulting services assist with business formation, certification application completion, and reorganization. The mediation side focuses on resolving disputes in a safe environment and amicable way. And she told me one of her favorite quotes is, "I assist individuals in transitioning with discovering their unapologetic self." So I'm going to have her explain that too in a little bit as to how that falls into all of this. Because we know law is sometimes isn't apologetic. The law is the law. So I'd like to hear about that too. But Danya received her BA in sociology from the University of Maryland, Eastern Shores, and her JD law from the University of Baltimore Law School. Additionally, she received her certification as a mediator from Community Mediation of Prince George's County, Maryland, and the certification as a consultant for Women Entrepreneurs of Baltimore as well. And then she's, of course, consistently updating her business consulting and mediation skills by taking seminars, workshops through the school as well as the Small Business Administration of Maryland. So we know that those added skills are always important. We can never stop learning, right? So, Danya, again, officially, welcome to the show. And some of that is a lot of techie language, we know. But what I'd like to ask you, as I ask all of our guests, is what brought you to the point that you are now? How did you determine what your purpose is?
The best way to state it is that I went to law school when I was in my 20s. I tried to find work with a law firm, sent out applications, was not successful to get a job with a law firm as an associate. So I had no choice but to start my own law practice, and I did that. I took a course that was offered by the Maryland State Bar Association, before you hang out your shingle. And when they say shingle, during older time, you know, some attorneys will have a little shingle out in front of their, you know, building, office building, letting people know that they're an attorney. And
right.
One thing about that course was that it taught you how to be a lawyer, but it did not teach you how to be a business owner of a law firm. So for 12 years, I was running my own law practice. I made a lot of mistakes with that law practice. So after doing it for 12-plus years, I decided that I needed to regroup and refocus and become not just a lawyer, but become a smart business owner. So I stepped back from the law practice. I decided to figure out what could I else do with my law degree. And I figured out business consulting and mediation, but this time I wanted to ensure that I had the right backing, the right knowledge to ensure that this time my business I would have a more successful business because I was more prepared than when my first step around, first time owning my own business. The second time I wanted to take lessons I learned from owning the law practice into owning my new business. And that's when I discovered my purpose is there are a lot of business consultants out there, but there are not many business consultants who actually teach people how to get their business properly formulated to ensure that they know what it is to start a business. And that's how I came to the conclusion of my purpose.
Ah, okay. Well, thank you. That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, and it's great when people learn from experiences and then can adjust what they do from that. So, okay, I know there were several areas that you wanted to touch on, being different types of businesses, some of the things that are needed as far as legal ease are concerned, some people that are needed for to make a successful business, those kinds of things. But even as a small business or even a one-person business, it's not really a one-person business sometimes. So we'll get into some of that. So I guess I don't know where you'd like to start. Maybe different types of businesses that people need to look at or wherever you'd like to start on that.
Well, the first aspect I find that is very important to starting the business is hone your business idea and create a little graph of what you want your business to be in the first year, what you want it to be in 5 years, and what you want it to be in 10 years. And the first thing that people should do is they should start with a business plan. And there are many organizations out there, there are many people out there like myself who can assist you with doing a business plan. I think that's the number one key for a lot of business owners is that they don't write out or plan out their business. Some people will just go and start a business without planning it. And that's one key thing is you need to have a good business plan when you're starting your business, because with the business plan, you'll graft out your business idea, you'll graft out your mission, your values, and your statement of your business. And when I talk about the mission of your business, that's what you value most, what you consider to be the most important thing to you and what you consider will be the most important thing to your customers. And when I say your values, that means what do you value as a person and what do you think your clients will value what you offer them also. And then statement of purpose is what is your business, why are you setting up your business, and what is the purpose of it. So the first thing when you're doing your business plan, you should do your statement of purpose, your mission statement, and your value statement, because that kind of curtails with who you are. It's an extension of who you are and what you do in your everyday life. And then another aspect of your business plan, you should give a description of the products or services you plan to sell. And with a business plan, you have to include financials, you have to include the demographic of your customers, your target audience is normally your customers. And also with a business plan, you do research on your competitors to see who is out there, what they offer, and what makes you unique from your competitors. Also with the business plan, it helps you organize. It helps you get your finances together, because if you ever want to get a loan for your business, the first thing they ask you is what are your financials, what is your budget, what is your expenses, why should we invest in your business? And that's why a business plan is very helpful. Business plan doesn't have to be that long. It can be from 10 to no more than, some business plans are like 100 pages, some are less than that, depending on your services or products that you're selling. And also with a business plan, you put together your people that will assist you with your business. You create an organizational chart of who you will have you know, as the secretary, as your attorney, as the CEO of the business. That's why it's very important. The first thing before you decide to take clients or take customers is to get your business plan done. And there are many organizations like Small Business Administration, depending on where you are, go to your local Small Business Administration or go to your local small business resource centers, because they have a lot of people willing to help you. And then also you have business consultants out there, individuals who will help you with actually writing your business plan. There are a lot of services out there, but I always think the first thing before you do any business is have a business plan together.
Yeah, and I know, like you said, the Small Business Administration does it. SCORE, which is the Service Corps of Retired Entrepreneurs, is one that's, I think, nationwide out here. I don't know what they've got overseas for people over there, but I would presume there's a Small Business Administration overseas as well. I know some of the colleges, some are the community rec centers, senior centers. A lot of these offer things because, it's a necessary thing no matter how old or young you are, or whether your business is going to be a single person or 20 people. As I understand it. Okay. The other thing, I know we've got a lot of people out there, and I want to touch on this. I'm going to bring it up right away, and then I want to touch on it as we go along, too. Is there are a lot of people that are, I guess I want to call them the creative industry, where they're not full-time wanting to have a business, but because of their product, they need to have a business. So as we look at some of that, and I fall into that category too, I know, which is, I guess, why I assimilate to it, being in the music industry and the photography and things like that for me, and I know there's some other ones out there. So as we go along, I'd like to touch on those as well, because they're a little bit different, but yet I understand they need to look at a business plan and look at everything also, because, they have this niche, but maybe even more so. They think, oh, we're only part-time. I've only got this being this little part of my life. But for me, I think that would make it even more important that they hone in what their mission's going to be. Would that be a fair assumption there?
Yes, because you don't have to complete a whole business plan. But I find that with my law practice, I didn't have a business plan. I just went all gung-ho. But now that I have a business plan, I have direction. I see a business plan as a roadmap to what you plan to do with your business, with your business life and your personal life, what you plan to do. Like, for instance, for me, I had a roadmap that how to advertise my business, how to get the word out about my business. And I'm starting my business with no money. I'm on a shoestring budget, but I'm learning that by connecting, I found things like through you. I found out that you can actually do a talk radio blog, and you don't have to pay for it in the beginning. You can have a talk show for 30 minutes. I learned through other individuals about how to blog without having to pay for it, like through WordPress. If I hadn't had my business plan together to me, if I hadn't written out what I wanted to do with my business, created a roadmap, I don't think I would have come this far. I don't even believe that I would have connected with you in order to do your radio show today. Because to me, you have to have stuff written out. You have to have things organized, because if you don't have it organized and written out, it's chaotic. And I had to learn that the hard way. I've learned some valuable lessons with having a business, and I'm glad that I had one, and I'm glad that I'm able to start a new one. But this time, with the grace of God, I'm able to do it the correct way because I planned it out. And it doesn't have to be a big old business plan. Just write down a plan, a small business plan, even if it's just 5 pages of what you plan to do in the first year, and then go from there. And whenever you have a business plan, it's like your accountability to yourself, because if you don't do what the business plan said, like I was procrastinating about writing these articles and these blogs. Two people offered to allow me to blog and put articles on their online newspapers, and I procrastinated. And then I looked at my business plan and I said, you know what? It's time for me to get started. It's time for me. And also with my business plan, I make changes to it. I think in the first year, I think every month, every week, you're going to make changes to it. And once you get past the 5 years, you just look at it after 5 years and make a few changes. But it's like your Bible for business. That's how I see it, for your business. It's your manual for your business. That's why I think it's good to write a business plan out. It doesn't necessarily have to be a business plan, but write something out to prepare yourself for different things that may happen, for, you know, different things that you need to do in order to stay on track, in order to ensure that your business becomes a success.
You said something that I think some people don't think about in all of that. You know, a family is actually a business. You know, especially when you start combining, you know, incomes and lifestyles, and then go bring children and in-laws and families and all that, you know. And, you know, I just thought maybe it's kind of off topic, but, you know, I think if some couples or even singles sat down and set up their own business plan for themselves and what they want in their general life, maybe we'd have a nice little roadmap to go by sometimes, and a better way to solve some of these dilemmas we face on a daily basis. Just a thought.
Yes, and that ties into my mediation aspect of my business, because when I was an attorney, I did a lot of family law, and I found that the clients, like you said, that the clients who did the separation agreement, the client that went to mediation and did a parenting plan. And what a parenting plan is how we're going to take care of the children, how we're going to make important decisions for the children, like everyday decisions and legal decisions, like what doctor they go to, what school they will attend, what religion they will be a part of. And that, you're right, that's like a family plan. That's why they call it a parenting plan, child custody plan, and like a separation agreement. That's like a family plan that the family, we're separating, and this is what we're going to do to make it easy for mom, dad, you know, husband and wife and children. And you're right, that's the key. And I find that the clients where we were able to settle the case and get something in writing where they set out their own rules and regulations for how they will proceed as a family, no longer married, but divorced or separated for the children's sake. I never saw those clients again. I may have seen them maybe 2-3 years later when the child got a little older and they had to change the visiting arrangements because now the child was in activities, or the child wanted to spend more time with mom or more time with dad. Now, you know, it was like a roadmap for them to change the, you know, their agreement, the plan. But the families where the judge made the decision when or where or how you're going to see your kids and how much you're going to pay in child support, I saw them consistently, like every 6 months, had to file a motion for contempt. But if it was a separation agreement, a parenting plan, or a child custody agreement, I rarely saw the parents. It was only if they needed to critique something, and you're right. And with mediation, a lot of times people are so gung-ho, I'm going to sue you. But in mediation, it teaches you how, it teaches individuals how I can resolve this on my own. I don't need a third party to tell me, because what a mediator is, we're just a neutral party. We're just guiding you to get to that point where you and the other participant in the mediation, other individual or person, can talk it out without having, you know, some third party tell you what to do when we don't even know your history, what happened, what brought you here. And that's why I chose to do mediation, because it's a way for people to vent. It's a way for people to sit down and come up with ideas of how to resolve issues on their own terms and come up with a plan on their own terms.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. And unfortunately, there's so many divorces and breakups and are even starting out as single parents, and so to speak, because there never was really a relationship or whatever. So, yeah, something for folks to think about, even if they don't plan a quote-unquote traditional business or think of it as a business. So, all right. Let's go into some of the types of businesses that are out there that people can actually consider as they go into life.
Well, there's about five basic business organizations. They call it, you know, and I'm just going by what Maryland rules are. It's best if you get in contact with, in Maryland, it's called the State Department of Assessment and Taxation. And they have a section where it deals with your business, how to organize it. So whatever state or whatever country you may be in, you may want to contact your State Department to find out the rules and regulations in your particular state, country, how you can set up your business. But it's basically what I'm doing is going on Maryland rules for business organizations. And the first one, which I did with my law practice, and I do not strongly recommend, is a sole proprietorship. And you don't need to file anything, and that's when the structure of it is a single owner, but the catch-22 is the liability. Owner will be liable for all business obligations, which means that if a disgruntled client or employee decides to sue you, they can go after your personal assets. And with the federal income tax issues, it's the single level at the individual's tax rate. It's like it's your individual taxes when you're taxed. And I advise you to talk to a tax accountant. If you can't afford a tax accountant, the federal government actually has tax advocates who you can talk to regarding your taxes. But you would have to go to your local IRS building. I know in Baltimore City, it's in downtown Baltimore, if you have issues about taxes, you can talk to, but I recommend you get a certified tax accountant and a certified bookkeeper. But if you can't afford one, there are organizations out there that will give you free tax advice, especially during tax season. But I find that if you go talk to a federal IRS federal agent, they are the best ones to talk to. You may be sitting in line for a long time, but at least you can get the proper information from them. And with a sole proprietorship, it's very simple because you don't fill out any paperwork, you don't file anything with your local state department, and you're not separated. As a sole proprietor, your business is you and you are the business. And the other type of business organization is a partnership, and you don't even need to file a state filing. It's not required for that. But for me, I would go ahead and file anyway paperwork if you're going to do a partnership with somebody. I just feel it's a lot better for that. And with a partnership, it's when it's two or more persons operating a business together. And with the partnership, you are both jointly and severally liable for partnership obligations. And what happens is, say if my partner is extorting money from some of the clients, I can be held liable for that unless I put something in writing to say that we are not responsible for the other party's actions. And that is what you call a partnership agreement. And that's why I recommend if you're going to go in partnership with people, make sure you have a partnership agreement. And, again, I advise you to get advice from an attorney who has experience in business law. Also, you can contact a business consultant because they have some experience with that, but at the same time, you should contact an attorney who has experience with business law, who has experience with helping people set up businesses and set up partnerships and things like that. But a good thing about a partnership, before the creditors can go after your personal assets, they must first exhaust partnership assets prior to going after you. So that's one good thing about a partnership. That's why I say even though there's no writing required, I would still have an agreement between you and a partners, and it's called a partnership agreement where you both agree who will be liable, how much will be liable for, just in case you have one scrupulous partner, because you never know when you're going into business with people. And also with taxation, you would have to talk to a tax accountant about that because it's a single level of taxation at partner's tax rate, whereas you will be, I believe what happens is you will have your own individual taxes and then taxes for partnership, but I'm not for sure. If anyone has questions about that, I have a few tax accountant friends, and I can talk to them and go from there. But I would advise you to talk to a tax accountant or maybe a bookkeeper because they can answer that for the federal income tax issues. And with another thing about partnerships, you can bind a partnership, whereas which means that if a client sues another partner, you can assure that that partner is sued and not per se the business or you. And that's why it's good to do partnership agreements so you can spell everything out. And again, I advise you to talk to an attorney who has experience in business law, experience with business formation, business organization issues. And then what you have is the limited partnership. And this is the one, even though it's a partnership, this is the one where you file with the certificate of limited partnership. Now, again, I'm reiterating that I am telling you this information based on Maryland law and based on Maryland, the state of Maryland. So I still reiterate to please check with your local state department agency pertaining to businesses. And with a general partnership, you have managing partners, you have limited partners that do not exercise management powers, and the managing partner could be like a CEO, someone who takes care of the daily operations of the business, and then you section off different partners and let them decide what aspects of the business they're going to handle. Like you may have some partners of the business that just deal with the customers, another partner that actually does the, produce the products or provides the services, and then you have the other partner who may ensure that the office runs efficiently. And with a general partnership, general partners will be liable, but limited partners will generally not be liable because a general partner, they manage the partnership. They're in charge of the partnership. But a limited partners, they do not exercise management powers. So they may just have a specific job that they do. And then you have a single level of taxation at the partner's tax rate. And you have to, again, talk to an accountant about that to ensure you are doing everything correctly with that. And then with additional information about a limited partnership, if the general partner is a corporation, then the general partner will only be liable to the extent of corporate assets, more cumbersome than a limited liability company. Partnerships may now make an election to become an LLP, which is a limited liability partnership, and the state filing is required for that. And there's no reason for partnerships not to make the LLP election. And the reason why you would want to go from a limited partnership to a limited liability partnership is because of your liability status. And if you do that, go from a limited partnership to a limited liability partnership. If a client decides to sue you, they cannot touch your personal assets. They only can go after the assets of the business. And in turn, that's when I go to a lot of people. To me, this is the best option, is a limited liability company, an LLC. And with that, you do have to file with the state articles of organization. And with a limited partnership and a limited liability company and a limited liability partnership, you don't have to necessarily do minute meetings, notes, or have monthly meetings or weekly meetings and all of that like you would do with a corporation. And with the LLC, the limited liability company, owners are members of the company, but there's much flexibility in determining who runs the company. And with liability, members are not liable for LLC obligations, and that includes a limited liability partnership. But it does not protect you from a tort or contract liability. And when you talk about a tort liability, that means that if a judge finds that you have committed a tort against a client, that it was so outrageous, it was so, like, embezzlement. That's basically one thing. As an attorney, I can give an example. If a client hires you to do a bankruptcy, they pay you, you do the filing, but you don't file a bankruptcy, and the client winds up being sued by one of her creditors, where the creditor gets a $25,000 judgment against her, that's what you consider a tort action. And so you're not covered by the LLC. She can sue you for that $25,000, and she can attach your personal assets because you committed a tort action, which is means in regular terms, layman terms, you did not fulfill your part of the obligation. She paid you to file a bankruptcy for her, and you did not file it, and it caused her to suffer a loss, a monetary loss, and so that's what you call a tort liability. And also that can be considered a contract liability because you did not fulfill your part of the contract. And then with LLC, it's a single level of taxation based on election by members, whereas with an LLC, you will file your personal taxes, and I always advise people to do this, and file your business taxes. And again, like I say, please talk to a tax accountant regarding the federal income tax issues. And with a limited liability company, it provides limited liability and advantages several level partnership tax rates, except for publicly traded entities, which must be taxed as corporations, because you do have some LLCs that have stock. And they're sort of like a corporation, but they're an LLC. So you have to follow certain rules. And also, with a limited liability company, you can be taxed as an X corporation. And with an S corporation, to me, it's in between a limited liability LLC and a corporation. Kind of has both, where you have the protection with the LLC, but with the corporation, it is run like a corporation where you have a board of directors, you have minute meetings, but with the S-Corp, you don't have to file all that paperwork with the state. So some people, they will opt for an S-Corp so that they can have the protection, but then it runs like a corporation. And there are different types of corporations, and with a corporation, unlike an LLC where all you have to do is file an article of organization, with a corporation you have to file your articles of incorporation. And with some corporations, you have the shareholders, the board of directors, and you have to be careful because with some corporations, there can be owners who are shareholders in a corporation, but they do not have management powers. And with a corporation, you can be liable for corporate obligations, but the good thing is directors and shareholders are generally not liable for corporate obligations, but then there's a catch-22. Like I said, with an LLC, and please, again, check with a business law attorney and a tax accountant. Depending on the type of case it is, depending on the type of client who is suing you, you may be liable as a shareholder or a director. And there are different types of corporations. One type is the C corporation, and it provides two levels of taxation. First level at corporate level for corporation, and two at shareholders level for shareholders. So it is two types of taxing. Shareholders pay a certain type of tax, and the corporation pays a certain type of tax. And then with the S corporation, the income is taxed like that of a partnership, and it's usually a single level of tax at shareholders level, and it's a pass-through, but there are certain limits, so it is not as flexible. With the S corporation, you get certain perks if you're an LLC to be taxed as an S corporation. And then the last type of corporation we have is the closed corporation. And you do have to file articles of incorporation for that. And with that, typical director management of corporation or election for shareholder management. And with a closed corporation, the corporation is liable for corporate obligations. But at the same time, directors and shareholders are generally not liable for corporate obligations. And then there's two levels of taxation, at the corporate level and at the shareholders level. And with a closed corporation, that means that they're not public. You know, they're not selling their stocks like a regular corporation would do. But again, check with a business law attorney and tax accountant. And before, with a closed corporation, it must be made formally in corporate charter. And the thing is that you can't, if you're a corporation, you can't turn around and say, okay, now we're going to be a closed corporation. You'll either start out as a closed corporation and leave it that. You can't go from one form of business organization to a closed corporation. It has to be made formally in a corporate charter, and with a closed corporation, to be able to take advantage of certain tax benefits, that's why you have to, it must be made formally in a corporate charter. And there are certain stock restrictions exist for closed corporations. And also, if you plan to have a big business that grows, you're always going to change, because you may have a business where you start out as a LLC, but then eventually it may be in your best interest to become incorporated like a corporation or become a closed corporation, but it depends. And always make sure you file your paperwork on time, because in Maryland, when you set up your LLC, there's a fee that you have to pay every year to stay in good standing, and it's about $300 a month. There's a form that you have to fill out, and it's called the personal property form, and it's just a form where you detail all of the property you own regarding your business, and you have to always fill that out. And when you get your taxes done, I advise you to get a tax preparer to do it. Don't try to do it yourself. Don't go there, and I have nothing against H&R Block, but for your business taxes, get you a professional to do it. A certified accountant, a certified tax preparer, and be careful. And also, you should have a bookkeeper. There's two things you should have when running a business and it's incorporated: a bookkeeper and a tax accountant, because the bookkeeper keeps your daily books and the tax accountant deals with your past, whereas the bookkeeper deals with the present and the future, and that's very important.
Okay, so what types of, well, let's try another way. Are there specific types of businesses that are best off with one type of corporation, partnership, LLC? I'm just going to call them all corporation for lack of, you know, to make it simple. You know, are there certain types of businesses that are more conducive to one type or another?
Well, for me, if you're providing a service, like we provide services, I would recommend an LLC. And like if you run in a restaurant or you're a beauty salon, I would recommend an LLC. Because the reason why I say that is because you want to protect your personal assets. And then depending on the different types of and another corporation I forgot is the nonprofit corporation. That's the 501c3s, where if you're not planning on, if it's not going to be a for-profit and you want to provide special services for disadvantaged people and things like that, you would do a nonprofit corporation, and that will make you, you can apply for both federal and state tax-exempt status. And also, this way, as a nonprofit, you'll be eligible for public and private grants. And you just kind of protect yourself because you're providing a service to disadvantaged people. But if you're providing a service, I think an LLC or S-Corp would be the best bet. And but the sad thing is, like for attorneys and lawyers, I mean attorneys and doctors, it's good to have an LLC, but at the same time, you need to have insurance to cover yourself just in case the LLC doesn't protect your personal assets. And the reason why I say that, you need some form of professional liability insurance. And they do have different types. It's just not for attorneys and doctors because I discovered that. They have different types for any business that you have. Like they have omission and errors insurance. They have all types of insurance, and I've learned a lot. So it's good to get with an insurance company that provides business insurance as well. Like I know State Farm provides business insurance to a limited extent, and then you have the Hartford Insurance Company. They provide insurance to a certain extent. And if you have, like, if you contact, like, a business consultant, they will always have insurance agents that they have on, you know, as referrals and network and business associates that they can refer you to help you get the proper insurance for your business. And the reason why I say that you should have some form of insurance is because, especially if you're providing a service, like if you're doing contract work, cosmetology, housekeeping, you know, construction, things like that, there are many ways where people can get injured. And so you need to have, even though you may be an LLC, it is still important to protect yourself with insurance. And insurance is not that expensive. And I was surprised at some of the rates that I was quoted. I was like, really? Like some insurance, you can get some insurance where it will just be $500 a year. And I think that's a viable investment. So if you do get sued and you're not covered through your business organization, you have insurance. And also with insurance companies, they normally hire an attorney to represent you if you're being sued. So that's why insurance is very important.
Okay, so you'd need, for insurance, is you'd need a liability insurance. You'd probably need your regular insurance for protection of your facilities, your housing, whatever it might be, you know, for fire,
yes,
theft, that kind of thing as well. What are the kinds of insurances,
yes,
would they need to consider?
They call it errors and omission insurance. And then they have errors and omissions is if you make a mistake or someone slips and falls. Then you have the insurance for your, like if you have a building, you want insurance for that just in case your business catches on fire, and that protects your business assets and the building. And also another thing, especially if you're renting from, you know, you're renting office space, it's good to have rental insurance also. So that would be good to have as well. And if you, you know, and it's good to contact, like I said, if you get in contact with the Small Business Administration, Small Business Resource Center where you're located, they provide a whole lot of information. And in Maryland, I recommend that you take this class from the Small Business Development Center Network. It's called Smart Start Your Business because it gives you all the tools you need and explains how to do a business plan. It explains to you types of insurance. It explains to you the type of corporations, you know, business organizations you have. I mean, it's just very resourceful. I found it very resourceful to take, and they give you the guidelines and everything you need to know about insurance. And I can give you some of the information, but still, it's still good to contact a good insurance agent and everything, the types of insurance you may need, because you need to talk to them. And also, a lot of people don't realize that it's not good to use your personal car for business purposes. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to get a separate commercial auto insurance. And with the commercial auto insurance, it means that you use your car both for personal use and business use. And it's very good to have commercial use insurance, also commercial auto insurance. Like, say if you bake cakes, you have a bakery, and you deliver your cakes to your client. You have to be careful because with your personal auto insurance, if they find out that you used it for business purposes, you will not be covered. And normally, if you have auto insurance with State Farm or GEICO, I believe they sometimes actually have a policy that they can incorporate with your regular auto insurance policy. But it's good to have one. And another type of insurance to good is have property and liability insurance. And that provides businesses with important protection against loss or damage to property and equipment, including computers. In addition, it protects the business from claims made by others for damages or injuries to customers, clients, or the property of others. Like, say if a client, you have a beauty shop, and one of your beauticians made a mistake and left some liquid on the floor, and the client happens to fall. That's why you would have the property and liability insurance. And then with business, with property insurance, that just protects your business property from you, like inventory, machinery. That's what that covers, television and all of it. So you would want the property insurance, like if there's a fire at your location and you lose all of your business equipment, the property insurance would cover you so that you wouldn't have nothing to worry about and you can get new equipment and move forward. And then with the business interruption or continuation insurance, that provides coverage for expenses associated with running a business, such as payroll and utility bills, when a business is unable to operate for an extended period of time because of a fire or some other type of loss as specified in the coverage. And also, I believe with this type of insurance, business interruption or continuation insurance, like say if your partner happens to die, I think this is the type of insurance that will cover you, but you may want to double check with that. Because I think that's in double check with that, but I think they do cover if like something happens to your partner. And then there's other types of insurance, like you have employment practice liability coverage. And this type of policy covers claims related to sexual harassment, race or gender-based discrimination, wrongful termination, failure to employ or promote, or other employee-related claims. So with the employment practices liability coverage, that protects you if you have a disgruntled employee. And then you have some kind of umbrella policy where we'll group together a whole bunch of insurances together for your business. And these are usually for big businesses, businesses that have like $1 million a year revenue. That's the type of, with the umbrella, you'll have the property liability, employment practice, and professional liability together. And with professional liability insurance or an Arizona Emissions Insurance, this is insurance that provides coverage caused by a professional advisor or a board member that arises out of the negligence, mistake, or failure to take appropriate action in performing his or her professional duties in operating a business. And that's like when you have, like I gave the example of the attorney who was hired to do a bankruptcy for the client and doesn't fulfill it. That's where professional liability insurance comes in. Then you have workers' comp insurance, and a lot of people know what that is. If you get injured on the job, you're allowed to get insurance. Your employer has to pay. It's like a disability insurance. Then you have crime insurance, and this type of policy covers its businesses from theft and miscellaneous damages. Like if you have a store and someone comes in and steals some of your products, that's the type of insurance you have. And I believe with that type of insurance, it can cover if an employee embezzles money from you. And then they also have something like internet business insurance. So it's all types of insurance. So you need to get with the proper insurance agent. And if, like, you're running your insurance, you're running your business out of your home, you want to make sure you have your homeowner's insurance, flood insurance, and also you have to have separate your business insurance. And another key is that you have to ensure that you have some type of health insurance for yourself. Now, if you're a big corporation, you may have health insurance for your clients. And another key thing to remember is to have some type of life insurance. So if something happens, God forbid something happens to you, and they need to keep running the business, have some type of insurance where the business can keep going if you have partners. So it's all types of insurance, but it's good to get in contact with an insurance agent. And in Maryland, they have all types of agencies that can assist you with finding the right insurance. Like, for instance, you have the Maryland Insurance Administration, and you also have the Maryland Department of Business and Economic Development. So if you go to SBA or your local small business development agency, they can help you. And also you need to know, just the types of insurance, because you have to be careful, because some insurance agents will try to sell you insurance that you may not need. So it's advisable to talk to someone like you said earlier, Cindy, someone from SCORE, PTAP, a small business who have been in business, and ask them who is their insurance carrier, or ask a friend who has a business and ask them to give you their insurance carrier name and ask them, what type of insurance do you have and what type of insurance do you think? Because to me, with the insurance, it's more about who you know than what you know.
And did I understand you correctly? Was for that $500 a year, was that able to include all of these insurances? I presume not life and health. I mean, those are different stories. But I mean, essentially, the business protection was able to be that small?
Yes, for me it would be, but that doesn't cover all the insurance. That's why it may be good to talk to an insurance agent, because they may be able to give you an umbrella insurance, which means that it will be different types of insurances under one plan. Like, you may have a professional liability insurance, and you may have a product liability insurance, and they can group it together and give you a price quote. And just because it's different insurances, one insurance type may cover everything that you need. But these are just examples of different insurances that are out there that a lot of people don't know about.
Okay. Okay, what else do people need for the business then? At this point, you've discussed the business plan or mission type statement, the insurances, getting outside personnel, including the attorney, tax accountant, a bookkeeper. What are the legal issues or issues should they be looking at?
That pretty much covers everything. But then another thing I would tell clients, I mean, I would tell potential business owners and current business owners, be careful where you spend your money, because a lot of times we think that we have to spend money on this, we have to spend money on that. But like I said, the key to marketing your business is who you know. And the key to marketing your business is you can market your business on a shoestring budget when you're starting in the beginning. You got free blogging. You got social media. You have networking events where you can meet people. You can get free workshops and presentations. So don't think that when you're starting a business, you have to spend all of this money on a website, on advertisement. As your business grow, of course you're going to want to spend money on a more expensive website, advertisement. But then I met a lot of business owners where they don't even spend that much money on advertisement. I met some business owners where they don't even do any advertisement, pay for any advertisement. They network. And another important thing is before you start your business, learn the trade. Learn what you plan to do. Take classes. Join your local chamber of commerce. Get in contact with people at your local small business administration offices, small development offices, SCORE. It's many, and SCORE is nationwide. And I've met a lot of people who have different organizations, and network with people. And also get you a mentor, someone who has a similar business as yours, who has been in business for a while, who can guide you, because you'll be surprised. There are a lot of people out there who are willing to assist you with your business. And if you have a service and you have certain things that need to, like if you need a website and you have a service that you provide, like you're a construction worker, you may need a website developer who will say, okay, I'll do your website for you if you'll build me a porch or fix something in my house. You can do barter, which means I'll trade one service for another service from you. So it's many things, but the key to starting your business is don't do it alone. Don't spend a lot of unnecessary money in the beginning. And the most important thing, write out your business plan. Write a roadmap. It doesn't necessarily have to be a business plan, but just write something out to get you started. And that's the most important thing, is have your business plan, have your business card, and start networking. That's key to me that I'm learning about operating and running a business and ensuring that it will be successful.
Okay. And just for some of those acronyms, to clarify what I had wrong, SCORE being Service Corps of Retired Executives, basically people who have had businesses and are retired and are looking to help and mentor those who are starting their own business. The SBA, the Small Business Administration, pretty much in most large communities that, again, has resources, operates different directories, so to speak, of ways to connect with people. Another one I'm thinking of would be Chambers of Commerce. To be getting involved in those, you know, for both networking purposes and for resources, resource guides. There's lots of, networking organizations. I know in Maryland you've got the great, you know, the on-purpose networking for women. I know out here in a lot of places there's a BNI, a business networking group.
Yeah, BNI.
You know, all of these kinds of things that are out there that, you know, yes, they cost some money to invest in on some of them as memberships are concerned, but you know what? A lot of those really form some tight-knit, relationships, you know, where, you know, like a BNI, those folks really do within their own organization. And some people I've had some friends that, you know, don't really need any of their work because they've got their colleagues that are doing that for them and doing, you know, a word of mouth and sharing for them and things like that. So I know there's a lot of those types of organizations out there that are available. And you just got to look. A lot of that's look online, call the chambers. and that kind of thing. And they've got all those resources for you, too.
Yes, and also each state and each jurisdiction, each city, they even have their own little separate entities where they work with minority businesses, small business owners, where they actually are trying to promote small business, because SBA is part of the federal government agency, and then each state and each city, each state, federal, state, and local governments have their own little entities where, you know, programs where they help people. So I tell a lot of people, try to go to your local government and go to their website, because there's a lot of organizations that are signed up there. And another important key is get on LinkedIn, get on Google+, get on Twitter, get on those Facebook, and get on those other sites and look for like-minded people and join those groups online. Because I have, I'm on LinkedIn, Google+, and Facebook. And that helps to promote my business. And I have gotten a lot of advice, and I have met a lot of people through these organizations, because what they do, people will post their little special events. Like, that's how I met you, Cindy, on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And people post their little events of what they plan to do, and you can connect with them. That's another way, and also that's another way where you can get the word out about yourself. And when you join these organizations, what you do is, you know, respond to some of the bloggers. You know, create your own blog and just respond to them, and you'll see how great a response you'll get back.
Right, and I know the other thing too. For so that can get you some networking, get you advice. It can also get you some business.
Sure can.
Somewhere along the way, you know, there's a lot more businesses that are doing things long distance, amazingly, virtually and that kind of thing, where it's a matter of sending things, you know, across lines. When you're a service organization, now granted, you know, you can't be a labor and do that virtually, but, you know, you may know somebody who knows somebody who knows the corporate executive of a company that has a division in your neighborhood and not even realize it.
Yeah.
You know, and make that kind of connection that way.
Yeah, and another thing is go out to events, you know, network with people, because I've been to several events. And I met people, and I've networked with people, whereas I started strategic partnerships, whereas it's a referral list, where if I have a client and say they want to do a radio blog, I would refer them to you to teach them how to set it up, teach them how to run it, teach them how to do it. And I find that when you go out to these social events and let people know and network with people, it's amazing how the doors start opening for you when people start considering you, when people want to do lunch with you to see how we can do business together. And I always go to events. Some days I don't want to, but that's part of your business. You have to get the word out. You can't just sit behind the computer, the internet. You have to get the word out. You have to put a face, a person, a live person to the business, and that's what you have to do. And I find that networking is very key. And if you have the idea of starting a business, start going to networking events, feel that you want to start your business, and get to meet people, get to network with people to say, hey, is this a good idea for me? Because you may meet your mentor there. You may meet, because I met one mentor. She was my instructor at Webb. And also I met another mentor in mediation. I went to this mediation event all the way in Alexandria, Virginia, and I met my mentor for the mediation part of my business there. We don't meet all the time, but we call each other. I try to call her at least several months at a time. And when you meet these people, they are willing to help you. People are really willing to help you, but at the same time, don't try to take advantage of them. Provide them with a service as well.
But at the same time, it's many services out there for small business owners. You just have to go out there. You have to do your research. You have to put the work, and you have to go out and network.
Right. And then the other thing for businesses, what I want to mention, too, is I know that a lot of federal organizations are required to do a certain percentage of minority work or work with minorities. Let me rephrase that. And some of that is certain types of corporations and type of businesses. And sometimes, if you want to be careful, too, as you're setting up your business, if you plan to expand and want to do get some of these government contracts, on how you set up your business so that you are eligible for them.
Yeah, you have to make sure you have the right certifications. There are different types of certification for minority-owned businesses. Here's a few of them. It's the woman-owned small business certification. It's the minority business enterprise certification. It's the disadvantaged business enterprise certification. And then there's one called the 8A certification, the Hub Zone certification. And with those certifications, you have to be very careful because I know with the MBE certification, that's done through the State Department of Transportation. And I went to a seminar there, and they were explaining to us how it was these corporations owned by men. And what they would do is they would hire a woman to front a business for them and say that it was a minority-owned business, but then come to find out it wasn't a minority-owned business. It was a business owned by a man. And what happened was they got sued. They got decertified. It was a whole lot of mess, and they were telling us that people actually do that, where they will put up an umbrella organization to make it seem like they have – like they are minority-owned business. And when you talk about minority-owned business, it can be a woman-owned business. It can be, a black male-owned business. As long as you're a minority, it can be an owned business. And I met a lot of white males who got discouraged about that. I said, well, are you a veteran? Yes. I said they have veteran certification. Are you a disabled veteran? Yes. They have that type of certification. It's a lot of certifications out there that people don't realize. And for you to be considered a minority-owned business, the minority has to own at least 51% of the business. They must run the daily operations of the business. It cannot be where they're not running the business, even though they may have 51% ownership. So you do want to, and they do have classes that they offer for that. They have a lot of classes that they offer for that. Maryland PTAP has classes, SBA offers classes. They have a lot of workshops and seminars for classes like that. Because I went to one, it was the American Contracting, because American Express has this section of their business where they call it Open for Business. And I went to this wonderful seminar they had on government contracting. It was an all-day event, and it was worth it. It was worth it, the time, money, and effort to go, because they explained the ins and outs of certification. And certification is not that difficult. But I do advise people that there are, SBA, SCORE, they provide services in the Maryland Department of Transportation for the MBE. And then you have certifications for, like, Baltimore City. They provide services to assist you with ensuring that you fill out the paperwork correctly. And then once you get certified, you have to bid for contracts. And I met some people I know who actually, that's what they do as a business consultant. They help individuals learn, and they help them get the write up the proposals for the contract. And the good thing is that if you don't get a certain contract, especially with the federal government, you can meet with one of the individuals who determines who gets the contract and who doesn't get the contract. You can actually have a one-on-one session with them. You can do it over the telephone, but when I went to that American Express workshop, they told us it's better to do it in person. So you can sit down with the person, that can explain to you why you didn't get the contract, what you need to do, so the next time you bid for the contract, you know what to do.
Okay. Well, if anyone wishes to ask Danya any questions, please call in at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. I know we've gotten a lot of information out there. I've tried to put some of it up on our discussion page on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, and I've asked Danya to go over there and either adjust some of what I've understood and or add some things to it if she'd like afterwards. Everyone who's listening, whether it's live or archived, is free to go over there and ask questions or put things up there as well as you end up hearing the show or listening to it a second time. So please feel free to do that. I don't see any questions in our Blog Talk Radio chat room either at the time, so we're pretty good on that. So I guess, again, are there any other things that we should know about or that you wanted to cover today, Danya?
Well, I think I've covered enough about the business consulting aspect. Another key that I think for businesses is that they should have a clause in some of their contracts with clients, whereas before you can take me to court, we'll try arbitration or conflict resolution as an inexpensive way to resolve any disputes they may have with customers and customers may have with them. And with mediation, that's what conflict resolution is. It's a way for individuals to resolve disputes between each other in a safe environment in a non-threatening way. Really no third parties are involved because the mediator is normally neutral. They only guide the discussion, and they allow the individuals, the participants, to decide what will happen, to decide what will be discussed. Usually the mediator is there to make sure everything goes smoothly, there are no issues or any problems. But, you know, that's one thing I tell people, that you should have something in your contract that says if there's a dispute, we will try mediation or arbitration first before we involve the court. And now a lot of the small district courts, like small claims and civil claims, a lot of the courts are requiring participants to go to arbitration or mediation to resolve, to see if they can resolve their cases before it actually goes to court. A lot of courts are starting to vote more for conflict resolution, like arbitration, settlement conferences, like that. And this is not just the United States. When I did my research for my business plan, it's all over the world. And, you know, like, it's all over where they mediation is really, arbitration, conflict resolution, mediation is becoming very popular to resolve disputes. Think about it. Throughout history, countries have come together to resolve disputes with another country acting as the negotiator. You know, if you think about the United Nations, that's basically what their job is to try to resolve disputes amongst countries in a safe, amicable way before there's war. And United Nations actually has their own division of arbitrators that go around the world to try to resolve disputes. And then you have top organizations, top businesses that are trying to do that. And if you think about everyday business activities across the world, you know, you have different cultures, different countries trying to do business with each other. They always have a third neutral party trying to work out the business deal. That's why I think business and mediation go hand in hand together.
Okay, and that's why you're doing both sides of that as your profession and your area of expertise right now, correct?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, I never thought about that, putting it right in the contract of services.
Yeah,
so,
because if you look at some of the employment, have you ever applied for a job? And when you got hired, a lot of people don't read the fine print, and they actually, a lot of businesses have a clause where they say before you sue over any employee issues, you agree to go to arbitration. And I've noticed that, like, some contracts, like when you do contract for a credit card and say you have a dispute, they actually have a clause in there that before you sue the credit card company, you agree to go to arbitration. It's funny, but they don't use that for themselves. They will go ahead and sue you if you don't pay them your money, their money. But if you go after them, you agree to do arbitration.
Yeah, I know. Even in school, it's like they tell us if you've got a dispute with a grade in your class, you have to first go to the instructor, then you go to the department chair, then you go, you know, you have to work your way up through the mediation and discussion before you end up going to the dean or going to, you know, campus board or any of that kind of stuff. So, yeah. Even at that level, they're teaching people to
even in, yes, that's true. Even at the when employee relations, you got to go through EEOC and all of that before you can actually sue. And that's why they have a employee relations division. That's why they have the human resource division. And you have to go through arbitration or mediation before you can actually go to court. And a lot of courts are starting to do that. Like if you go to small claims court and stuff like that, like through CMPG, we get a lot of our referrals from the court. Like there may be a dispute where a couple are fighting, they fight each other over crazy stuff. I'll give an example where two women are fighting over a man, and then they have protective orders against each other. So then they decide to file criminal charges against fighting each other over this guy. So the state's attorney, the prosecutor, will send the case over to us to see if the parties can resolve it, especially if it involves a, you know, a parent relationship between a parent and children, or say like a girlfriend and boyfriend or husband and wife over the children, and they file charges against each other, they will actually send it to us as a referral for mediation, and they strongly recommend that they go because the judge, they technically don't have to go, but the judge will say it will be highly in your favor if you take advantage of this program.
Wow. Okay.
Because they're starting really, they're getting tired of these small claims and tired of all of this litigation in court. And Maryland is very, very, that's what Maryland is very advocating for, mediation a lot. And it doesn't work all the time, but it's just a good way to talk things out. And it's very private. Whatever's discussed in mediation stays there. Whereas anything that you discuss in court in front of a judge is public record. Someone can order the transcript if they want to. That's the sad thing. Whereas with mediation, whatever's said in mediation is private. Unless you come up with an agreement, only way that agreement can be seen by any third party is if the participants do it or we have to give a copy to the court, depending on, like, if it's a child custody order or something like that. But other than that, it's very private, and I think it's more convenient, and it's a, to me, it's a safer way to resolve issues.
Okay. You mentioned the CMPG, and I don't know if they actually said that in your introduction. I think I kind of glossed over it. And it is that is for you. It's localized in Maryland Community Mediation of Prince George's County, right? There are other organizations
over. And it's other organizations. It's like the Community Mediation of Maryland, and they have different branches. And Community Mediation of Prince George's County is a sister to that. And it's CMM, Community Mediation of Maryland, for Maryland, and they have branches throughout. But then you always have private mediators that are placed on lists to, you know, to mediate cases in court, you know, district, federal, and circuit court. So it's a lot of programs out there for mediation. You have private mediators. If you're just in the verge about ending your relationship, you know, with your spouse, your significant other, and you don't really necessarily want to go to a lawyer first, there are actually private mediators who will mediate a parenting plan agreement for you or a separation agreement for you. And usually those type of mediators are attorneys. So, but when you do a mediation, if you do do an agreement concerning like a divorce, child custody, marital property, or even if it's even a small claim, I always advise people to have an attorney, a legal professional, look it over for you. So to make sure that, and mediators will tell you, I will give you a chance to let your attorney look it over before we finalize it. And mm-hmm. actually, when I was practicing law as an attorney, like the mediators would give my clients a week to review it, like maybe 5 to 10 days to review the agreement before signed by a judge. And the agreement could not be an order. It could not really be enforced until it was signed off by a judge. So, you know, after the 10-day period, the clients would say, Ms. Zimmerman, go ahead and send it and have it signed by the judge. And another thing is with those agreements, they make sure that both parties sign off on it. That's another important thing when you're doing mediation. Make sure both parties sign off on it. And not every mediation you're going to have an agreement. You know, I find the successful mediations, you know, if the parties were able to vent and let it be known what was going on, and then they say, well, we don't really want to do an agreement right now. We want to think it over. But we appreciate the fact that you let that we were heard. That's what a lot of people like about mediation. They are able to be heard. Sometimes you're not going to resolve the issue, even if you have multiple sessions. But it's just a way for people to be heard.
I lose you?
Yes.
Oh.
Hello.
I'm like, did I lose you?
Oh, no.
Okay. Anyway, okay. So, yes, all that, I think we've pretty much dealt with everything you wanted to, and it's a whole lot of stuff for people to try to wrap their thoughts around, their finance around. You know, I guess I would say if people would like to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
You can reach me. My email address is dzimmerman, dzimmerman36 at gmail.com. And they can connect with me. The Facebook page is www.facebook.com/facmbc on Facebook. And that's basically how they can contact me if they have any questions.
Okay. And those are also, those are listed on the PurposeTalkRadio.com website under guests and Danya's page. They are also listed, actually, no, that's pretty much where they're listed at this point. So you can find them there, whether you're listening via the computer or Blog Talk or Skype. So you can all get them all at the website. So, all right. Final words of wisdom you'd like to give us?
And, Cindy, first of all, I would like to thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to discuss the legal aspects of owning of running a business. I thank you for this opportunity to promote my business, and I really enjoyed it. And my final note is, like I say, the key to a successful business is not what you know, it's who you know, because if I did not know Cindy, I would not have been able to, you know, discuss, have a long-lived discussion about what I do and what I'm about. And that's one important thing about being a business owner. Do not be afraid to step out of your comfort zone. Do not be afraid to go up to people and meet people. And do not be afraid. If you have a gift or a talent, you can make money with it. There's money to be had and shared for everyone. And if you have a business idea, do not allow your family or friends or yourself to discourage you from doing it. And that's when I got that, you know, my motto, We assist individuals in transition to find that inner unapologetic self, which means, care what you think or how you think, and I don't even care what I think about myself. This is what I'm going to do for myself to assist people, to help people. And this is what I want to do with my life, and I will live my life the way I see fit. And that's how I like to end it.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, and I want to say, too, I do want to acknowledge for you and for all of us, you know, had we both not been connected through the On Purpose Networking for Women and Jenny Robertson, you know, we wouldn't have connected this way. So, again, it is all networking. It is all being out there, you know, because she has a great networking thing on Facebook that, you know, connects women all over the place. Yes, she does her local meetings, but she also allows us across the United States to be able to connect with other people, just mentors, as people to chat with, as the whole thing. So I do want to acknowledge Jenny on that as well.
I said Jenny On Purpose Network, that's the best organization you can join on Facebook. I really enjoy it, and I've met wonderful women.
All right. So thank you very much for being with us today, Danya. I'm going to put you back on hold if you'd like to listen to the rest of the show. There isn't a lot to it. I'll wrap up some things. And, you know, thank you again for being a part of it. And please, you and anyone else, please go over to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations and chat over there, respond to some of the comments that I put up there or that anybody else might later as they listen to the archives and through the week. So I'll put you back on hold now for a while. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. And I thank you all for listening today. As you heard from Anya, there's a whole lot of different types of corporations that you can have and insurances that you need and ways to network and build your business and do marketing and get yourself out there without a lot of huge costs. But the big important thing is that you protect yourself, your personal assets, and separate them from your business assets when you look to create a business. And that is whether it is with one person or several. You know, if you use your home, if you use your car, if you do all of that for business, you do risk losing those kinds of things if you don't separate your assets from business and personal. And Danya did touch on that a little bit, actually quite a bit, and stressing that you don't want to use your car for business and personal, and you want to set aside some things she didn't say but alluded to. You want to set aside specific space in your home and specific equipment for your business so that you aren't overlapping and using it in home and anything else. But it is separated. And if something does come up legally as a legal issue, that you're not losing all of your personal as well as your business. So by protecting yourself, setting up a type of corporation, limited liability corporation, partnership, all that kind of things, which you did explain, you know, you protect that. The other thing, again, of networking with Small Business Association, SCORE, the Service Corps of Retired Executives, the local chambers of commerce, many of those things are out there to help people both define their purpose and their mission statement, which Danya again said was, you know, the best way you have to start. And they also are great resources to find other people to help with your business. The other thing of being setting up a mission statement and a personal purpose for your business, starting out, because you're the only one that can decide that. Someone else can look it over and tell you whether you've got everything in it, but you're the one who decides for your own business what you want to provide as a service, as a product, what your values are, what community you wish to serve as far as genders, personnel, all that kind of thing, you know, age, all of that. And you gear your product and your service toward those people based on your mission statement. So she gave a whole lot of information, which, like I said, is, you know, you can hear this again on the archives We do record all of our episodes on Purpose Talk Radio, so that is available for you to hear again. And it is at the same link, for those of you who happen to be listening to it now live, the same link will get you the archive in just a few minutes. It is a HTTP bit.ly link, and the end of that is 1D4VUA7, capital U, capital A, 7. I know that may not be remembered very well, but for those who want to listen to it again, like I said, the link is at on Facebook. It's also at PurposeTalkRadio.com. So I have missed putting up my affirmations for the last couple of weeks, and I apologize for that. I think we're going to do one that is not necessarily related to business at this point, but is related to the connections that we've made here today and that Danya and I both spoke of in relation to how we get a hold of other people to help us to be mentors and things. And for that, I think our affirmation today would be, I am grateful for all the resources in front of me, and I use them wisely. So again, I am grateful for all the resources that are placed before me, and I use them wisely. I think that's a good way to end this part of our show. Again, I am Cindy Freeman, your host of Purpose Talk Radio. If you wish to be a part of our show, you can connect with me on the website at PurposeTalkRadio.com or sending me an email at Cindy@PurposeTalkRadio.com. Our website does offer opportunities for sponsorship and donations, as well as being guests and reading about our past and future guests, as well as the archives of our past shows for about the past 2 years. All of that is available on our website. You can also connect with us on Facebook, and you can connect with me on a personal profile or on the Purpose Talk Radio page, as well as Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group, where we talk during the week about the topics that we've had on the show. I'm also on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Google Plus at this point, and pretty easy to find on as well. So there are, as Danya said, many opportunities to network and connect with us over here. So having said that, I also would like to remind you that our closing song is called I Am Who I Am. It is by True Trinity, their website, truetrinity.com. And take a deep breath, and I invite you to enjoy the rest of the day. Stay warm, stay safe as the winter sets in, and I wish you all soul blessings.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.